This is Trivia Friday. The number to call with your question or your answer to a question is 888-589-8840. Now, back to more Trivia Friday.
And welcome back to Trivia Friday. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I'm joined in studio by Brother Bert Harper and J.J. Jasper. The number to call, if you want to be on the program, is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. All right. Well, we reset our questions before the break. We may do that one more time here during this segment, but we are ready to go right to the phones.
Okay. Let's go to Jim in Oregon. Jim, way out in Oregon, the second caller I ever talked to on Exploring the Word was from Oregon. The first one was from Wilmington, North Carolina. The second one was from Oregon. And I thought, wow, this is nationwide.
Nationwide.
So, Jim, thank you for calling. Do you want to ask, answer, or both?
I will answer.
Okay. So I just got to ask, what part of Oregon you from?
I'm in Portland. I used to listen to you guys when I lived in Seattle. I listened to you on the app.
Okay, yeah. Man.
Tim always says, that app has been a game changer for us.
Oh, listen.
People can listen from anywhere.
On the weekend program that Nathan and I do, Exploring Missions, it's more on the app than it is on the radio. A lot of, especially the weekend programs, they get caught that way.
Brother Bert, you mentioned the Exploring Missions in the afternoon. You and Alex have a show, in case everybody, if they don't know. What time is it? And tell us about it.
Okay, please. It's Exploring the Word. Alex and I just go through the Bible. We've gone through every book of the Bible completely, going, you know, chapter to chapter, except Psalms, and we hit that on going. And we take questions in the last segment. On Friday, we take questions the whole time. And it comes on.
On any biblical subject?
Any biblical subject. 66, man, some of them are amazing. It is challenging. And we don't call it trivia, though. We're not looking for, okay, who was the grandkids? But we answer the questions. And then it comes on at 3 o'clock, 3:05 Central Time, and lasts for an hour until 4.
So wonderful. We
tune in. Hey, Jim, which question do you want to answer?
Oh, boy. By the way, I will do both after all.
Just okay. So you guys know. All right. Yeah, go right ahead, man.
So let's see. What do I do? Do I do TV or literature? I think I will do TV just because I have a feeling people aren't going to get this one. So I'll take JJ's question.
Which one?
About Alan Thicke.
Okay. Oh. Alan Thicke played the TV dad on Growing Pains. Name his character.
Dr. Jason Siever.
That's right. Now, I'm going to, for extra points, a bonus round. I know you can name one of his children, but what were his three kids on the TV show?
Actually, there were four. There was Mike, Carol, Ben, and they had Chrissy at the final couple of seasons.
Okay, Mike. And Mike's the one that we know so well, Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron. Nicely done.
Yeah, well
Thank
done.
Thank you. Yeah, Alan Thicke, and it was Dr. Jason Siever. And
way to go.
So
way to
go. A lot of you listening grew up watching that show. So what's your question for us, sir?
Yeah, give me the name of the reading system used by blind people.
The reading? You talking about Braille? Or is there a little more complex?
I am talking about Braille. Nope. I was talking about Braille.
Okay. Great.
Yep.
What? So he's asking, how do blind people read? And the answer is Braille.
Oh, right. You answered that.
I thought it was a special name for it.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
And enjoy the weather in Oregon.
Yeah, do that. Well, from Oregon to Georgia. Okay, from coast to coast.
It's a long flight.
It is. Hey, Brad, thank you for calling. What part of Georgia are you from?
Hey, yes, sir. If I told you that, I would give away my question.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry I asked. Hey, do you want to answer, ask, or both? I figure you want to do both after hearing that. Go ahead, man. Which question?
Yeah, Yes, sir. We can do both. I'll take Ed's literature question.
All right. Here's the question. The ancient Greek poet Homer wrote about the Trojan War in what two famous books? What is the answer, sir?
Okay, that would be the Iliad and the Odyssey.
That is correct.
Nicely done. Good job. A lot of people had to read those at school.
I remember when.
Yes.
And I haven't read them since.
No, I haven't read them either since then.
I can tell you a little bit about the Cliff Notes.
well done,
I love
Brad.
Cliff.
Yes.
Cliff Notes saved many a high schooler.
Okay. Hey, Brad, what's your question for us? And it has something to do with geography, your location. Go right ahead.
Okay. So I'm from Georgia, and the question is, what is the sweet onion capital city name? It's found in Georgia.
Is it
Vidalia?
Vidalia?
Vidalia onions.
Yeah, the Vidalia onions. Is that it, Brad?
Woo!
All right.
I think those are the best.
Way
onions.
To go, us.
Well, in the secret, it's kind of like the sweet potatoes in Vardaman, Mississippi.
Right.
You can get the same onion and let it grow in different soil, and it still misses some.
That's right. Mm.
And like the sweet potatoes in Vardaman, there's something about that soil, and it gives the taste to it. So I read that. I thought that was interesting.
It's true.
Yeah, God's good earth is amazing.
Yeah. It really is. Hey, Brad, thank you for listening to AFR. Brad, are you a dad?
Yes, sir. I'm a dad of four. I've got a 17-year-old daughter, a 7-year-old son, and 2 4-year-old twins.
Oh, wow. Well, you've got a full quiver, it sounds like, and I hope you have a wonderful Father's Day Sunday.
Okay. Well, let's go to Texas and talk to Chip. Chip from Texas. What part of Texas? All over Texas. We are on our radio. So where are you, Chip?
I'm in Huffman, down by Lake Houston.
Okay. Well, great, man. Thank you for calling. Do you want to answer, ask, or both?
I'll try both.
Well, which question that has not been?
Heretofore.
Been answered. Do you want to try?
Yeah. As my luck would have it, the previous caller nabbed my Homer question, so I'm going to try the one on the porcupine.
Okay, well, that's 50-50, so if you got a coin, you can take it out and flip it to get the right answer, or to get an answer.
It.
Here's the question. Yeah. It's true or false, a porcupine's teeth are blue. Is that true or false, Chip?
I watch a lot of nature shows, but I haven't gotten that close to a porcupine, but I'm just going to say true.
It is 100% false.
You
his teeth are orange. Porcupine's teeth are orange.
Are you serious?
I am serious. And I was going to just do that and let that be a true one, but 8 out of 10 of my true or false are true, so I have to throw a false one in every once
Keep
in a while.
Keep it honest.
But that was all your questions I would call true-false questions have a little bit of a bizarre nature to them. Because you go, that could be true or false.
Yes. You always compliment me on you. You're like, that's just zany enough.
Yep.
I'm with full confidence. I don't know which one it could be. It could be true or it could be false.
I thought that might be true.
Chip, you're with a lot of people that are like, I've never seen blue teeth there on the center fold of the National Geographic magazine, but...
I've never seen orange teeth either.
Yeah, but they got orange teeth.
Nobody ever gets close. They're afraid he'll launch those.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Hey, does that mean you have a question for us, Chip?
Yeah, I'll try one with you guys. Who was the original composer of the soundtracks for the spaghetti western movies that came out in the 60s and 70s with Clint Eastwood and Lee Van Cleef?
Oh, wow.
All right. I think his last name is Morricone.
Wow.
Ennio, I forget the...
Wait,
the,
how are you pulling this out of what category in your brain?
I'll tell you why. I saw the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly when I was probably, 10 or 11, 12 years old.
Jingle, jingle.
It was my favorite movie, and my dad got me the soundtrack from that, and it had music from... Fistful of Dollars and For a Few Dollars More on it.
Oh man!
So but
for you to even
Ennio
be able to
Morricone, I think. I think I got that right.
How do you do, Chip?
Well, I'm actually split on it, and so I was kind of calling to see what you guys thought about it, because I've got a soundtrack by a guy named Hugo Montenegro and his orchestra.
He did
all of them. So, but it could have been Ennio Morricone, who's done a lot of wonderful soundtracks, and I've seen him do some as well. So I'm not sure who was the original. I just kind of was throwing it out there for you fellows.
Yeah, Ennio Morricone is the one who did the actual soundtrack for the movies, and that was more popular in Italy, overseas. Hugo Montenegro, I had that album as well. That was kind of like the American orchestra leader who kind of popularized it over here. I can still picture the album cover from Hugo Montenegro's album, because it was a sketch of Clint Eastwood holding a gun, and the Morricone one, which was the official soundtrack, had the photo of Clint Eastwood.
That Montenegro Tago, they named a car after him. The nose on that thing wasn't quite as long as a Lincoln Continental, but it did have that fake spare tire thing on the back.
Way to go.
Anyway,
that is some pretty cool music.
I'm amazed by that you've got all these details from that many years ago. That's
all that worthless information.
No, that's just amazing. Chip, thanks for listening to AFR. Have a great Father's Day.
Okay, let's go to Louisiana and talk to Brian. Brian, thank you for calling. Do you want to answer or ask, or both?
Well, I intended to answer, but Porcupine just stole my thunder.
What was your answer going to be, Brian?
That they were orange.
Did you know that?
No, I had to look it up, but there is an interesting story. I should have known it. I actually field dressed with a guy, Porcupine, and he cooked it, and I tried some of it.
No, you did not.
Does it taste like chicken?
Yes. It's like a very sweet pork, and it's one of the safest meats to eat in the wild. In the meat, there's no disease carried.
Well, here's the good thing.
After you dress it, you've got a toothpick to get it off.
You got more than one. No, I'm sitting there thinking the thing about bluegill.
It took longer to dress that porcupine than it takes me to field dress a deer.
The thing about bluegill, or in this part of the country they call them brim, some of the most delicious fish. But man, you got to watch out for those bones, those tiny bones. Make sure you get them all out. Can you imagine a porcupine? You say it takes longer to do that than field dress a deer?
Woo, that's awesome.
Well, you need a good stout pair of gloves. And the thing's like running around inside a bag. The skin is really loose.
Really?
They say that about badgers honey badgers, that's why they'll tangle even with lions, because even when they grab them, the skin moves, and they can't really get anything vital.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
Right. Who knew we were going to have a porcupine expert call in? Orange teeth thing.
So, Brian,
I was so busy trying not to get stuck, I forgot to look at the color of the teeth. So
I'll
get to looking that one up. Now, also, you guys gave an incorrect answer to a trivia question earlier, I believe. Can we go back to the number of times water was parted in the Bible?
Yes, and I could, I'm open to us missing something.
Could you restate the question, please?
Yeah, how many times in the Bible was a body of water parted?
The answer is 5.
What did we miss?
And you could
Book of Revelation.
Argue Jordan. You could argue Joshua crossing the Jordan. In that the water wasn't divided, it was piled up on one side and ran dry out the other. So you could debate whether that one actually counts. You do have Elisha and Elijah going and coming on the Jordan. You have Moses parting the Red Sea. But you boys didn't go to Genesis 1, verses 7, 8, and 9, where the waters were separated from the waters.
You know, my daughter actually said that when she was giving me these. She said, "But you might, Ken," and she threw that in there about when the waters were separated there in creation. But she didn't want to strain at a and a gnat swallow a camel.
Yeah, but Brian did. Brian did.
Well, listen, we asked it for some specific.
Amen.
That's
so
right.
Brian,
that's
nothing,
right.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, Brian, and, don't feel bad about being a nitpicker, brother. Hey, have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to AFR.
Hey, good on you, Brian.
Amen.
You,
way you to go. Get, let's
that's
that.
What my daughter said. Now, somebody might say, and she threw that in with an asterisk.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Hey, I love those asterisks.
Yes,
especially
sir.
People that can pronounce them. Okay,
yes.
Let's go to Arkansas and talk to Troy. Troy, thank you for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, I've known several of the questions today, but somebody answered most of them. I've got a couple that I could still answer.
Okay, which one?
The axolotl.
All right, here's my question.
Can you spell it? That's the question.
St. John's College in Maryland has an axolotl as a mascot. Troy, what is an axolotl?
It's a water salamander.
It is.
Ooh, wow.
An aquatic salamander.
That makes me hungry. This close to lunch.
Yeah, it is a unique animal.
It's got the little kind of things sticking out the side.
It's the kind you'd think in the deep ocean, you know,
right.
They have these odd-looking ones.
Right.
Axolotls, they must come from the deep.
And you said, who did you say that you...
Andrew, one of my grandsons, Nathan, on Exploring Mission, his youngest son, he was just fascinated. And we were out in Colorado, and we was looking at, and he saw one. Man, he said, yes, that's it. And he taught me. I didn't know what it was.
Wow.
He showed me.
Can you have them as pets?
I don't think so.
Some things don't survive, or they're too rare.
I could ask Andrew. He would let me know.
Troy,
he's got a stuffed one.
Did you have to look that up, or did you know it?
My wife knew what they were.
Okay.
We had an occasion to feed and take care of our neighbor's animals, which included an axolotl.
Okay.
Wow.
Years ago,
okay.
Which it included feeding that axolotl, and that involved running your arm down into their fish tank and feeding it by hand. And
no way.
When you get close to it, he would sense the food was nearby. And he would latch on it, and sometimes he'd get your finger, too.
Oh, man.
It's kind of a weird feeling.
Ouchalotta.
Ouchalotta.
Okay.
Ouchalotta, yeah. That's good, yeah.
Troy, do you have a question for us?
I do. Andy Griffin. This is an Andy Griffin question.
Uh-huh. Brother Birch,
it's
ready.
It's not about... Andy Griffin made several movies. And one of them was he was playing a bad guy. And it was a situation where he was hunting a man in the desert. What was the name of that movie?
Tell me it ain't so, Troy.
I cannot picture him being
say
a bad guy.
Say it ain't so. I thought he was going to do No Time for Sergeants.
Yeah, yeah. I know of it, but I couldn't watch it.
Oh, no.
All right, what's the answer? Troy,
I think it's kind of a horror movie. They call it a horror movie. I actually saw it several years ago, and I said, "No, that's not right." Andy Griffin,
that'd be hard to watch.
But he plays a pretty good bad guy.
What was the name of it?
The name of it is Savage.
Savage.
Wow.
You know, sometimes. Go ahead, sir.
I don't remember the year that it was made. I saw it when I looked it up. Because I couldn't remember the name of it. I looked it up. I don't recall the name, the year, but I'm certain it was when he was still alive.
Okay.
It had to be between Mayberry and Matlock.
There you go.
You know, he had those quiet years.
Well, I was going to tell Troy, a lot of times actors, when they kind of get pigeonholed, you know, they want to kind of break out of that mold so people will get the full range of their acting ability. I just always think, how silly. You're famous for something. You're making piles of money. Just stick with it.
Stay in your lane.
But
I think there's a sermon in that one.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Hey, Troy, thank you, man. You've blessed us today.
Knowing
about Andy Griffith.
That's right.
Being a bad guy.
Okay? That's like when Sylvester Stallone did that musical. That was really hard for me to watch.
A musical.
Yo.
Amen. Hey, it's West Virginia, and it's Dottie. Dottie, thank you for calling. Do you have one of our questions that you can answer that's left?
Hi, yes, I do.
Oh, okay, well, good, man. I'm glad we didn't have to restate them for you.
Yeah.
But which one?
The Graveyard Cup.
Okay.
Oh, this is good. I want to hear this.
What is the difference in a graveyard and a cemetery?
Well, since thankfully we're not in one of those right now.
Right. Praise the Lord.
I would say that the cemetery is one that would be, let me check my note here. A cemetery is a behind a church, and the graveyard stands alone.
How about reversing that?
Reversing it?
Yeah.
So okay. Graveyard well, is attached to a church?
Yeah. According to my source,
okay.
And I checked it 3 or 4 times. Did you go to Google to find that out?
No, I did not. No, I did not. I was thinking about our local location here that was behind my home when I grew up.
Okay. It is the official is graveyards are owned or next to the church, and a cemetery is independent of that, separate. And you'll notice that there'll
okay.
be they call them memorial gardens or something. It'll be a cemetery, and the official is a graveyard is next to a church.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Dottie, thank you. Do you have
all
a question for us?
Yes. Do you know the West Virginia state motto?
At least we're almost, not Virginia.
No, almost heaven.
Almost heaven.
Country roads.
Yeah.
I've no idea.
No,
I don't know, think better than Virginia.
What is it?
It's Montani Semper Libri, which is mountaineers are always free.
Oh,
mountaineers are always free.
Boy, that's patriotic.
I like that's the idea.
If somebody said this, if you could flatten West Virginia flat, it would be larger than Texas.
Oh, because of the mountains.
Yeah,
mountains.
There's no flat places
in West Virginia.
Dottie, thank you so much for listening to AFR. You have yourself a wonderful and blessed weekend.
Ready for one more?
Yeah, let's try to squeeze this in, but we need to let RD know.
Short time. Go ahead, RD. You don't have a lot of time. You're from Kansas. Thank you for calling. You want to answer, ask, or both?
Try to do both, sir.
Okay. Of those that are left, what you want to go?
I'll try the time zones.
Okay. Here it is. And how many states have 2 time zones within its borders? 7, 14, or 21?
I'm going to go a wild guess and say 14.
Woo, that is correct.
Wow. Yes, 14. Great guess.
And some of them, like Alaska and Nevada, it's barely in there. Like the Aleutian Islands is on a separate time zone than the main part of Alaska. In Nevada, it's so close to a Utah town, they carved out just a little bit of area to be in the mountain rather than the Pacific.
Really?
But that is true. 14. Way to go. Do you have a question for us?
Yeah, there are, yes, 3 strikes make an out, 3 outs make an inning. What is the least amount and 9 innings in a game? What is the least number of pitches can be thrown in a perfect game?
All right, RD, you're just going to have to tell us because we might be able to fumble our way
if
we're out of
time.
Well,
we'd have to take our shoes off to do the math, and we don't have time to
do that. I'm going
to
say 27.
27. What's the answer?
Well, that was going to be my guess right there is 27 because each pitch could be a thrown pop fly and be caught out.
Good. All right. We better. Thanks, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, RD.
Let's answer our questions, guys.
Yeah. What you got left?
Okay, yeah, I got one left. This is great. What is the oldest active professional musical band in the United States? The United States Marine Band.
Oh,
founded
cool.
by President John Adams in 1798, and they're still going.
Wonderful.
But different people.
Yes.
I've got no questions remaining.
In the cartoon Bluey, what is Bingo and Bluey's dad's name?
I can't remember.
Bandit. Yeah, and I forget the mom's name. That really is a wholesome cartoon for kids.
All right, folks, that's all the time we have for Trivia Friday.
Dads, enjoy your special day. We thank God for dads, their strength, their wisdom, and your role model and example.
And the Heavenly Father's the best one.
Amen.
More great programming directly ahead, folks. We'll see you Monday.